My yard right now is a death zone. Perhaps yours is too. It's November and everything is dying. My tomato plants, which we had out in the garden in the backyard, which did great this year, by the way, turned into a tangle of ugly vines going every which way, and the tomatoes wouldn't get ripe anymore, even though they started growing. They'd fall on the ground and yellow and orange and rotten, right? The trees, which were so beautiful even as the colors were turning, are now turning into scarecrows. They're kind of scary and skinny. If you see them in the street light, they look like ghosts or something. The leaves, I'm afraid, are going to clog up my gutter. They're clogging up my little fish tank. The grass isn't growing much as it was beautiful in the spring and summer and even in the fall. My backyard is giving me a sign. It's telling me a message. Spring and summer are over. Things end. Winter is coming. Jesus gives us signs of a similar sort in today's gospel. Stan is sitting there with his disciples, and they're, you know, the disciples are for our kind of country bumpkins from Galilee, and they're in Jerusalem, right? And they see all these big buildings, and they're amazed. And Jesus gives them, and he says, you see all of these buildings, this magnificent temple? And he says, not one stone of these amazing buildings going to be left standing on another. They're all going to be thrown down. And of course, Jesus' prophecy was correct. As much as those buildings seemed like they would stay forever, about 40 years after Jesus spoke, Roman army came through and leveled Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Jesus says, this is a sign. He tells the disciples and us to read these signs correctly. Things end. This world we live in, as permanent as it may seem, sun rises, sun sets, sun rises, sun sets, buildings, institutions, it's all going to end. Read the signs, he says. Wars, rumors of wars, insecurity, uncertain, nations rising against nations. These are signs, Jesus says, of a truth that we may know intellectually things end, but we have a hard time grasping it for real. He points to other signs, earthquakes, famines, kingdoms rising against kingdom, persecution, families torn apart. Like a great autumn to winter, right? Like the trees shedding their leaves, he says, just look out and read these signs. Things end. These signs have been written and have been happening ever since Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. God sends these signs. You read the sign, you say, oh my gosh, it sounds like this is the end times. And you're right, this is the end times. And it was also the end times in 1975. And it was also the end times in 1811. And it was also the end times in 1442. This world is passing away. Jesus wants us to read the signs. It's also a personal message to us as individuals. Not just that world out there, or that buildings are going to fall down, or, you know, the world out there is going to end. But things in our own life, we ourselves face endings. Things that we rely on and take for granted will fail. Your health, your money, your emotions, your stuff, all of it, sooner or later, is going to dissolve and go away. And this is terrifying, scary. It's like looking at old photographs, you know, if you have a family or kids, you know. You look at these photographs, and on some level, it's joyful, you know. You see your kids who, you know, when they were one or two, right? And you look at yourself, and you go, wow, I had hair. And But on another level, looking at that photograph, you realize how much things change and how much that whole world you see in those photographs, your kids at a certain age, what you were doing, all that's gone. You can never go back. That has all ended. And so the world will end affects us now today. And what we need is something to grab onto. Because we live in this world where things change, and we need to be able to hold on. And Jesus says, he who endures to the end will be saved. But how can we endure? How can we make it to the end when there is so much change and uncertainty? When we're afflicted by anxiety and worry and just plain grief and sadness of the things that we have lost and that we fear losing? We need something to grab onto, something to hold onto that will last. You know, it's like a Tarzan in the jungle. Tarzan's main method of transportation, I'm an expert on Tarzan, his main method of transportation was vine jumping. He would grab one vine and swing, right? And then he'd grab another one. A new one. But in order to go anywhere, in order to be safe, he had to let go of the one and grab the next. And on. Grab this one and let go of that one. And this is what we have to do as Christians as well. We have to let go of our grip. Our faith and trust that we put in things that are not going to last. We have to let go only by the power of the Holy Spirit, only by the power of God's Word in us. But we have to let go of that idolatry, of grabbing on to that thing which gets us through the day, whatever it is, right? We have to let go. We don't want to let go of it. Right? We put our faith in it, but it ends. And we need that something new. That's something that will last. That's something that will get us to the end. That will give us endurance. And that's something that endures, Jesus points to in these two words. When he's talking about all of this destruction, buildings falling down, wars and rumors of wars. And he says two words, birth pains. These are but the birth pains, the beginning of the birth pains. The end of this world is coming. Indeed, this world ends every day. But there's a new world coming. And the end of this world means the beginning of the next. This world has to end. This world of sinfulness, evil, hurtful, relationships that are broken, death, which chases us around, worry. This world must pass away because a new one must come. This new world, which God intends to give us, righteousness, perfection, goodness, being together as saints in the presence of Jesus, that's the new world. This old world, which we participate in, this world of sin and death, that old world was crucified with Jesus on the cross, was nailed to the tree, was buried in the tomb. And the new world rose. This new creation rose with Jesus on Easter morning. Christ brings it into existence, glorious, alive, eternal life. In order for the new world to come, the old one must end. In order for us to be in this new world, we have to let go of the old. Repentance. Confession. The end of this world, as scary as it is, means the end of sadness. It means the end of division. Selfishness. Broken trust. The sin which infects each one of us. All of it is going to be done, over with. God is going to bring it to an end. And with the end of that old world that God will will finalize that world and put it away as he did on the cross. The new will come. The reunion of all the saints. Seeing God face to face. Being filled with his presence. That's the birth pains. That's what's coming. A new world. A new world of God's light and his presence. And so we do this Christian dance. We let go of the old and we grab the new day after day. It's a baptismal dance, dying to sin and death in the water and rising again to new life of faith in Jesus. This is not a fantasy land, though. It's not make-believe. This new world not so pushed so far in the future that it doesn't make any difference. We have it now by faith. Wherever Jesus is, risen, triumphant over sin and death, that's the new world. That's the eternal life. What is this divine service, this worship that we have this morning? What is it but a giant preview of the feast to come? For here we all are, saints, gathered together in God's presence, singing the songs of heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Holy, holy, holy. The future is right now. God is here. Grab on to this new world. Put your faith and trust in this world which has been bought and paid for with Jesus' blood. Sins forgiven. Saints gathered. God with us. It's the new world. That's eternal life. And so let us today and every day pray the prayer of the ancient Christians. The ancient Christians in the first centuries were not afraid of the end of the world. In fact, they prayed for it all the time. They longed for Jesus to come back. They rejoiced, thinking that Jesus would return. And they prayed this prayer, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Bring us into the new world. Put away this world of sin and death. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.